How did the Star Trek position of Pavel Chekhov come to be?
Well, gee, I haven't been asked that question.
No,
before.
never comes up. That's
I had done, I think it was 63, I had done an episode of a series called Mr. Novak, and I played the part of a defecting Russian student who came to the United States. And it was a guest starring role, and it went well. And the casting director on that show was also the casting director, you know, 4 years later on Star Trek. His name was Jody Augusta. And also, I worked in an episode of The Lieutenant, which was another series created by Gene Roddenberry, and I had done a guest starring role on that. And finally, I had done a very prominent role on an episode of the Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and the director of that show was one of the two alternating directors on Star Trek in the second season when I came aboard. So when my name came up, it was almost a fait accompli that I would. There was only one other actor being considered, so I got the part almost by default.
Now, in terms of notoriety, when you are walking around the streets of Los Angeles, is that the part that people remember you the most for?
Oh, yeah, for Chekhov, there's no question. If they indeed remember me at all at this point.
Oh, they do. You'll find out when we open up the phone lines. The part of, what was it like working with Bill Shatner?
Oh, and, don't ask that.
Come on, and Leonard Nimoy. Because everybody loves Star Trek, and they want to know what goes on behind the scenes.
Well, okay, read between the lines. I thought Leonard was a very talented actor who was absolutely perfect for the role of Spock. I don't think another actor could have played it so effectively. He was a very much a student of acting and very conscientious about being in character. So we saw him in character most of the time, even when we weren't in front of the camera. George Takei is a delightful man, a very well-rounded person with great cultural interests. He's done so many good things for the Japanese American community as well as for the country in general.
Sure.
I think Nichelle is absolutely charming, a wonderful singer. I've been delighted to be to be associated with her. DeForest was a true Southern gentleman, a man of compassion and a great pal. And Jimmy was as well. Jimmy was a neat guy. Somebody that was mercurial, emotionally was mercurial. You had to be careful on occasion when his temper flared. But he was a delightful guy, and again, it's very sad that we have lost him.
And Shatner?
No, I just said read between the lines. Those are the people that I will discuss.
Talk about.
Yeah.
Okay. The episodes of Star Trek, as you look at what's happening now worldwide. Isn't it amazing of some of the things Roddenberry was thinking of, the one world, the coalition, the federation? Seems like we're kind of getting that way now.
Well, are we? Geez, I don't know. It seems like we're in a more, the way the world is now is we're more fractured and disparate and less in unity than we have been,
Sure.
For a long time. So I don't think we are achieving the ideals that he wrote about. I wish we were. I think perhaps that's one of the attractions of Star Trek, is that it did map out a future in which people really did get along, where everybody really respected and cared for each other and our differences. We were a cast, we were a crew of different racial, ethnic, national origins, and we learned to, which I think was the operative term here, is that we learned to maintain our cultural individuality and our cultural identity. We didn't have to sacrifice that in order to come together, and I think as a cohesive unit, that's what's missing in this world. I think that we can't seem to respect each other's beliefs, religious, whatever our ideologies are, and still find some sense of unity. So I think we're a long way from Gene Roddenberry's dream.